You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you. We have something special for you guys right off the 1 year anniversary of this hit Netflix special. We are going down and dirty into the world of Arcane. It's your boy Val Cisco alongside me with your other boy, your other man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, Mr. G Rance. How you doing, buddy?
Ooh, what up, brother man? I am chilling, ready to talk about this Arcane, but I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I'm good, man. We know this is a show that we kind of came in late. And with little to maybe no recollection on what this was actually about, and even with the premise that it's based off of, we were kind of blind with this as well too. But you know what? As we got into the show, and I thank you for it, we got into the lore and heck, the epic world that is League of Legends. You know, I gotta say, I ranked this show so high up in my viewing pleasure over the last couple of years, and I'm just super excited to talk about this, man. How do you feel about this show?
Oh, bro, I absolutely love this show. This is like genuinely like part of the, you know, part of the lights, the interest, the repertoire, like, because like you said, I went into this with like no expectations whatsoever, not knowing anything of the world of League of Legends, just knowing that it's, you know, the most popular video game in the world, you get what I'm saying, and beloved by a lot of people, the lore, the games, the characters. So I just jumped into this blind. I'm like, let's do this. And bro, it's amazing. And now I just have love for the Arcane world, for the Runeterra, because that's the part of it, Runeterra, and League of Legends. And yeah, man, it's an amazing show. And still some people to this day have not watched it, and I recommend it. Go watch that. You're robbing yourself of that.
And we'll get into why we probably put it on pause for a little bit as well too. But hey, if you guys love action, drama, science fiction, hell, steampunk, you're gonna love this. You don't even have to be a fan of League of Legends to actually get down and dirty with this show, because without even knowing the context of everything that's about, going into this blind, you're already immersed in the world that is Arcane. You know, this is an animated show created by Christian Link and Alex Lee. The animation studio is from 4Che under the supervision of Riot Games, distributed by Netflix. Of course, it's based off Riot's League of Legends fictional universe, and it primarily focuses on the sisters of V and Jinx, two popular characters from the League of Legends universe, alongside with some other characters that make their debut essentially in this show as well too. The good thing about this show, like I said, since this is an adaptation of the video game, there wasn't a lot of lore attached to the game itself. You know, yes, there's the world building that the game has already, but because there's not a lot of backstories to a lot of characters, they leave it up to mystery in a way. You know, especially with one of the most popular characters, Jinx, you look at her as this Harley Quinn ripoff, as you say, but she has layers upon layers upon layers of how complex this character is. And it's because of this show right here that took the liberty to go deep down into the annals of these characters' histories and make up some biographies for them to really enhance those characters. And I think that's what makes this show so special, is that yes, they took some creative liberties, but for the best reasons, because they fully flush out every single character that you see on screen.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, I feel like the lore was always there. Like I said, for us, like, we didn't know much of the lore because we just jumped into the show fucking blind. But coming into this, like, you know, I didn't know nothing about Vi, nothing about Jinx. Just, you know, that if you look at her, you would think, like you said, maybe that she's a Joker, prototypical character, or a Harley Quinn or anything like that. But then when you watch the show and you keep going from episode to episode to episode, you start seeing that these characters are well fleshed out. They all have their problems. They all have their flaws. They all have their pros, their cons, however you want to say it. Essentially, they are onions with a bunch of freaking layers. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And everybody in this world has their own problems and stuff like that. And you can relate to any of these characters easily. So I think that's one of the things that this studio did well with this show. Even though this show almost got scrapped, you know, for the life of me, I was like, wait, like the show on YouTube, Bridging the Gap, I think they say it off of episode one, off the rip. They're like, this almost got scrapped. They came to see the script and all the stuff, and they were like, well, nope, we don't like it. We're not with it. So they kind of like, okay, let's put our big boy pants on and let's just get it. And I mean, they said that the love and the heart was always there for every character, but then after that, they were like, all right, now we're about to knock this shit out the park. And I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, man. Not only did they fully flesh out characters, they fully fleshed out a world that, honestly, in 9 episodes, it seems like it's impossible to do, to fully flesh out not just one side of the world, but two sides of the coin, essentially. You know, yeah, Piltover, which is that, you know, seedy, you know, upscaled environment, and then you have, you know, the underbellies on, you know, the dark alleys, you know, the criminal world, the impoverished world that they have as well too. And both sides of the coin are just beautifully shown on screen. You can fully immerse yourself in these environments. You can totally see why characters are one way, why their motivations are one way as well too, and how certain characters are products of their environments. You know, in a philosophical way, you can see that as well too. That's why I said this show is built on layers and layers and layers. It's not just a kids show or a kids video game or whatnot. This has heart, this has soul, this has like deep meanings that you could search through in each and every single episode, from episode one to the final episode as well too. Every episode is a banger. I don't think I found one episode that I was like, nah, this is whack. Every episode is a banger.
Yeah, no, and it's good because, like you said, every episode is a banger. I just want to accent like the both worlds. You know, not only do they do an excellent job of accenting the lively, it's like day and night, literally. Like, you see Piltover thriving, you know, thriving at the cost of Zaun, if you really look at it. And, you know, as the show goes on, you see it. They're thriving at the cost of Zaun. And that's why there's that civil unrest from Zaun, that they're like, yo, y'all living on us literally, you know, and y'all thriving off of us and y'all oppressing us at the end of the day. Like, nah, we don't want none of that. That's why when the first episode starts off, you got that attempt at that civil revolt, but it got shot down because Piltover is leaps and bounds above Zaun. And, you know, like I said, it's day and night. You see the beauty that Piltover is, the beautiful clear white skies, birds flying over, how advanced they are, you know, everything civil. And then you go down to Zaun. Hell, fucking first thing I thought about was Killzone, you know? They have to walk in. People from Piltover have to walk into Zaun with gas masks because they can't handle that environment. So I'm like, okay, that's fucking cool right there. You can tell it's already gritty. You can tell it's dingy. You can tell if you live here, bro, you bred for this shit. You can make it here. You can make it anywhere, literally, like New York. So just seeing that, that's freaking epic. And then, you know, I just got caught up in my own shit. Where were you going with your, like?
No, I was actually going to jump on and kind of segue into, like, why I kind of stood away from this show. I'll say this, you know, just speaking for myself, I stood away because I knew nothing about League of Legends. I'll be honest with you. You know, I know it's an arena battle.
I love it.
But to be honest, those games are not really my jam. And, you know, I think I've been jaded over the years with seeing adaptations of video games brought to different streaming services or even movies and whatnot or TV shows, and maybe not just hitting the right marks. So, you know, I kind of just left this alone. I was like, well, I don't know anything about the universe. I don't want to jump into something I really don't know or feel like I'm half-assed in it whatsoever. And then I was a little scared about the animation, I will be honest, because once again, very jaded. I've seen a lot of shows on Netflix that have this soft shell 3D animation that just doesn't work for me. I've seen it with the Godzilla series that they have. I've seen it with the Ultraman series that they had as well too. And it just never was my thing. It never could get around of how weird it looked. It just wasn't for me. But after you spoke so highly of it, and I was like, okay, let me give this a shot. I absolutely fell in love with the animation. I think this is the best that I've seen a show like any show like this or a movie use this type of shell animation. I love the fact that it just looks like a hand drawn, like it's coming off the screen in a way, off the page in a way. And it just, it's perfect. You know, I've seen things like how hair moves. And, you know, I've seen movies or shows where, or animated movies or animated shows where they're drawn a specific way where hair doesn't move a certain way. And when you look at certain characters and how they move and how they jump or how they duck under things, how hair just works with the body structure. Not everyone looks the same in this show. Everyone looks very distinct. And I love that as well, too. Everyone has a shape, a size, a difference. Their eyes are different. Their hair is different. Everything is completely different. But anything that that should not work in an anime show works so well here because everything flows so well. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, right?
No, I get what you're saying. Like that, these characters are drawn like essentially they're brought well to life. You know, like it's just the small details how a hair moves. You know, like a inch of darker shading under an eye or by a chin or something, you know, like on Victor, the lines, how they make him, you know, when he's kind of, his body's failing. I get what you're saying completely, and I think that's one thing that they did very well. It's the drawing, the animation, like these characters look phenomenal. Body movement, every little piece of them, everything means something, you know. And they brought that completely out in all in the world. For me, I wasn't really too hard on that because, you know, I'm a dude that plays Borderlands, you know? So I've always kind of been already used to kind of like these drawings and these stuff and these animations. So it really didn't bother me. But no, you make a phenomenal point, bro. Every character feels legit alive, you know? So, but for me, the reason why I stood away from it was it just never hit me. Like I always had it on my list and I'm like, it'll get there when I get there, and out of nowhere it just hit me and I was like, you know what, let's watch this, and the rest was history, bro.
So tell me, going into this, because you saw this before me, what was the thing that captivated you the most? Was it that first episode? Was it even the second episode where you got to hear the Imagine Dragons song? Because I know you loved the music when it came to this show as well too. How it had a mixture of old and new as well too, very contemporary but also very different as well. What was it about the show that really gravitated you to watch it?
I'm transporting myself back to that first day. I mean, instantly, the music, I was like, all right, cool. The music is cool. I did like the Imagine Dragons. I was like, let's see where this goes. You know, the cast of characters that I did not know about, like in the intro, you know, where you see Echo, where you see Vander, and, you know, I'm like, okay, I like some of the characters, but then that first episode, man, when you have Powder singing, you know, while this civil unrest is going, just death and destruction all around, and you have the two sisters walking, and that was already right. The thing is that everything is done so methodically, from even when your man's, the soldier, was reloading, letting out the shell, that shit meant something. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm like, this is already good off the bat. Like, what the heck is going on? And then you see your man, I forgot his name. Terrible. The adopted father, basically. I forgot his name. No. You could check it up. Yeah, like,
why? Right, right.
So.
Vander,
there you go. Like, yeah. From him laying the last beat down on the dude, looking at Powder and Vi, like, nah, bro, like, this wasn't worth it, you know? So then as it progressed, that already grabbed me there because I was like, okay, so I want to see the story of these two girls. I want to see Vander. And then it just kept going. And then, you know, from the first mission to essentially seeing Powder, that's what started captivating me. Powder kind of like, you know, getting downplayed. You know, I'm a guy that sometimes I have self-esteem issues and confidence issues, so started gravitating to a character, getting downplayed, and then just seeing the world, getting immersed in the world, like you already said, so I don't want to keep talking about that. And then that episode, was it three? Episode three? To just seeing the transformation of, that was really the catalyst, from seeing the transformation of Powder to Jinx, you know, that right there just hooked me, because when I saw them in the intros, I'm like, okay, it's a sister, it's two females fighting. I didn't know it was gonna be sister versus sister. It clicked on episode 4, so I'm like, holy shit, this is Vi and fucking Jinx, you know, before we knew Jinx, her name. So I'm like, this is Vi and Powder. They're the ones that's scrapping. So you weren't good. You were bad all along. So that just interested me more. I was like, I want to see where this goes. And then from there, so I would say it was episode 3, the breaking of Powder into Jinx. That's what just kept me going, honestly, and it just hooked me. And then all the other stuff that we saw.
You know, you mentioned all these key elements, and it just, I'm reminiscing of those moments that I felt watching this show and how a lot of this stuff hit me from those first 3 episodes are so crucial to building up this show. And like I said, in 9 episodes, they told a brilliant story. And yes, the crux of the show is about two sisters, Vi and Powder. And from the start of the show to the end of the show, that's how it ends as well, too, between these two sisters. For me, yeah, that was it. It was that first episode of, you know, seeing Vi and Powder, you know, just on the streets, on the bridge, essentially just seeing, you know, death and destruction all around, the kill zone-esque, Piltover Royal Guards just destroying people with their red eyes, gas masks, just no fucks given, you know, eradicating people. The scene Vander with the gauntlets just going to town, and not even knowing that this is a defeated man, not even knowing what we know in episode 3 and 4 and 5 of this guy that was this essential leader of the rebellion.
Yeah.
To know that at that moment right there, he was at his lowest. He lost everything. And the only thing that he could possibly do right now is at least save 2 little girls. And he did that.
That's nice, bro.
It's crazy. It's crazy when you look at hindsight of like how what these 2 girls meant to him, because that was such, essentially was a second lease on life. Yes, he lost the war, but at least he gained these 2.
That's facts. That's why we saw him being so critical on them, and that's why we saw the deals that he was making with Piltover, you know, and just trying to keep everybody safe and trying to keep everybody cool, because firsthand he saw single-handedly what Piltover can do to Zaun. Yep. You know, so that's why he wanted everything chill. And yeah, he's such a great character, bro. Like, You started seeing these little, I want to ask you about my man Silco, bro. Like, you started seeing all this later between Vander and Silco, and, you know, like, that's when, you know, you started peeling back the little layers of the onions, and then you're like, boom, here comes Silco. I mean, Silco's another dude that you can sit here and say that maybe he's not a villain.
Bro. Like,
he does some dirtbag shit. But you look at him and you got to sympathize with the dude and understand. How do you feel about Silco as a character?
Silco is my second favorite character of the show.
Wait, so who's your first favorite?
Oh, man.
I love the Silco, though, because Silco, he's a great character.
We haven't talked about him, but I do love Jace.
Oh, yes. You're a Jace man. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
I do love Jace. But... yeah. Even before that, even when we just look at that first episode and you look at what we're dealing with Vi and Powder, you know, you mentioned like, oh, you were bad all along, and you see all these little things that get her in trouble and get her, I guess, on the wrong side of things. But again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, is she a product of her environment, right? Like, is she a product of basically mental abuse from all these friends, quote-unquote friends, that she does have, her sister's friends, this little gang that she has? Well, you know, all these expectations for her to do what everyone else does, or at least be a part of the group, or at least keep up at least. And essentially, this is a child, this is a baby, this is a child, this is a child trying to survive but also keep her innocence and have her friends and family with her at all times, because essentially her actual family was murdered in cold blood in front of her face. So of course you have to know that she has some kind of issues right then and there, and you're grinding on her.
You're just reinforcing these issues, you know. Like, I agree with you 1,000%. You know, like, that was one of my favorite lines in the whole show, where she was like, Silco didn't create Jinx, you created Jinx, you know, that she told Vi, her sister, that day you left me, you know. But going back, which, you know, thinking about it, because you brought it to my attention, I started replaying those old episodes in my head, the first episodes. Yeah, you started seeing the abuse from Milo, you know, like, I called it, or yada yada yada. You know, Klager not, you know, given a F about it. Klager was just very neutral, but he was like, I'll go get her, you know, but things like that to powder psyche fucked her up. And then hearing the conversation between Vi and Milo, you know, but she left at the worst time because then Vi was gonna defend her, you know, like, so she already had those things there. And then in episode 3, like, when they told her, like, no, stop, stay here, we'll do this, we'll break Vander out and stuff like that, and just seeing her mentally just breaking down, crying, that scene just vividly lives in my head. The boogers, everything, that, just crying, and just, you can tell this girl's tormented and she has issues. And then that was a snapping moment, episode 3.
Issues, but you know what's crazy too, and this is what lives rent free in my head, because we look at society today, and I know we're going deep on an animated show, essentially a cartoon.
I mean, but hey, sorry for cutting you off. This is what these shows do. They accent and they bring to life problems in society, real life problems.
You look at that first scene when you see Vi and Powder. Vi is the one broken.
Mm-hmm.
Vi is the one seeing her family on the floor. Vi is the one that's given up, and you see Powder raising her up. This younger girl that should, in all respects, feel defeated more than anyone else, is lifting her big sister up. And as a family dynamic, it's supposed to be the other way around. And that theme goes from episode 1 to episode 3, where Vi should have been bringing her sister up. She should have been picking up her sister since day one. She should be out there looking after her in all aspects. Like, no, I won't tell myself that, oh, she brought her along. Oh, she made her part of the gang. No, I won't say that because she put her sister in harm's way. Whether we want to believe that or not, whether it's for necessity or not, like, she could have been a better sister at that moment in time. If anything, the stronger person at that moment was Powder.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. And I mean, it is, you know, essentially she's supposed to be the weaker one than is the uplifting, and she was doing it for her bigger sister. But it was there in bits and pieces, but it could have been more, you know, and it was just bad timing. Like I said, you know, like, maybe she should have just spoken her mind sooner to Milo instead of like, you see my luck, zip it, yada, yada, yada. Like, you know, it was there, but it wasn't there at the same time. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, we spent a lot of time in the beginning, you know, both in Piltover and Zahn as well, too, in different aspects. We see the gang trying to, you know, do a couple of breaking enteries, some B&Es right there, picking an eggs, trying to, you know, steal some stuff and whatnot. And it's nice seeing the whole gang, you know, do a little spy espionage and rob a couple of places and cast the characters what they can and cannot do and whatnot. I did enjoy that. And of course, you see the family dynamic once they get back to Zahn, and, you know, seeing Vander and how Vander reacts to these things. Like, did you get caught? I heard you did this. This happened. Being a papa bear and whatnot. I did enjoy that, but I will say I also enjoyed the other side of the coin when you look at Piltover and you look at characters like you're looking at Jace and you're looking at other characters as well too. What's her name? Heimendinger.
Oh, your boy Heimendinger, yeah.
Characters like that, and the other side of the coin as well too, how society is on that side, right? Of, you know, the intellectual man who never says no, right? They're like, when is it too much? When does science become too much? When is your aspirations, your dreams, you know, your desires, when is that too much? And this is a character which I was ultra interested in, because this is a character that has a weird background. You know, you see you know, him and his mother almost at the brink of death being rescued in some kind of religious way. I'll say that right there, in an ultra realistic religious way of being saved. What's the sorcerer, like I said, I'm not great with this lore as well too, he's like a rune sorcerer when they meet him in the desert.
The rune sorcerer. Oh, I don't know his name. They never accented his name, but that's the dude that saved Jace.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you're seeing that right there with Jace, and you're seeing, you know, his hardships and what he had to bring to the table. Always a scrappy person that just wanted to do better and better and push the envelope and push the envelope even more until you see later on the episodes what his desire, what his passion, what his blind blind justice, if you will,
mm-hmm.
costs not only him, but society altogether.
Everybody in that chamber.
Yes. Like, I love it because it's just showing what good intentions, like good intentions can still lead to horrible things.
I agree with you 1,000%. He's a great character. I kind of figured you would like him for the self-righteous that he has, the self-righteousness. But you're right, though. Absolutely correct. You know, we can see how sometimes being too good and, you know, having that self-righteous sometimes leads to a little bad. I actually absolutely love his little buddy. I love Victor. You know,
yes.
Like, Victor is my guy because seeing Victor from day one, you know, diseased, coming from Zaun, body already failing him at a young age, you see, like, what anybody in a desperate situation would do. You know, he was so desperate to live because his body's failing, he's dying, and people like that just go to the brink of desperation and they just get so blinded, and it hurts. You get what I'm saying? Like, because you have people around you, but sometimes that desperation, you don't see shit. Killed off, you know, the shorty that actually was loved with him.
Yep.
But just seeing that, and then just seeing that little brief joy when the hex tech brought him that he can run, and then he just kind of, you know, he was desperate, he became consumed by that, and then essentially kind of infusing with the hextech score, which I want to see some more, it breaks my heart. So that's a character that broke my heart too.
There's so many dynamics that are happening on both sides of the world right there. When you look at that Piltover, you see the expectations. It's like privileged expectations, right? You see the relationship between Jace and Caitlin as well too, and how they have their own little platonic, not platonic relationship as well too. They're growing up with each other, they're seeing each other having both expectations, where Caitlin wants to be part of something bigger, she wants to be part of the guards, she wants to be in the fight, where Jace is more so like, you know, I just want to be accepted, I want to be accepted by society in a way. And these are real world things, but at the same time, these are privileged things. And then, of course, when you look at, you know, Zaun and what's happening down there, people are doing things. The expectation is to survive. It's to survive. It's basically, I don't care what people think about me, I don't care about my reputation. It really is, what can I do to make the money I can to eat the next day? And it's just so many different dichotomies that happen in this show that I think it's so relatable from everyone, because anyone that's dealing with any kind of personal issues, whether you live in Arizona, Puerto Rico, New York, LA, you're either on one side of the coin or the other. And it's all about how you carry yourself. It's all about the decisions that you do on a daily basis. And you see in this show, everyone makes a crucial decision at some part, and it costs them something.
I agree with you, man. That's why I like, you know, every character in this show, it's easy to find like relatable and get behind them, because everybody, even look at your boy Echo, you know, Echo with just essentially creating this haven, this beautiful world for Zaun, you know, that everybody can be there safe because they were just dying, you know, trying to survive, and seeing Echo. And then just like you said, just like, you know, sacrificing himself against Jinx to have Bai go return the hex core because they were about to get obliterated. You know what I'm saying? So every character is very freaking deep in this show, and not one thing is, like, you know, unnecessary. Everything has a meaning to this bigger world.
You know, spoiler alert for you, but we should have said that before, but if you haven't watched Rock and Roll, you should be listening to this then. But that episode 3, episode 4, I really feel like is the turning point of you like this show and then you love this show, in my opinion, because you could just like whatever's going on in the first 3 episodes, but it really is that core half of episode 3 and the rest of episode 4 that makes you fall in love with it, because the heartbreak, like you said, of seeing Powder desperately want to be accepted by her sister, by her peers, by her surrogate father. And knowing that everything she does, they call her a fucking jinx. They call her a loser. They call her, you know, they basically rag on her in every way. And, you know, when we look at, like I said, today's society in this world, mental health is a real thing. You know, mental abuse is a real thing. And sometimes we don't know what people are doing, or the person themselves. They don't know what they're doing to cause that mental stress. And you see that. It's little ticks. It's little things like that that break down a person who's already suffering. And then, like I said, good intentions. I'm here to help. I'm here to, you know, rescue. I'm here to be a part of something. I'm here to make a decision. And my decision cost me my friend's life right there. The death of Vander as well, too, who is this patriarch of that family. You know, yes, they're a little thieves guild. Yes, they're little rambunctious kids, the Goonies, if you will. But seeing the patriarch die, seeing the shift of power that happened in Zahn with Silco, seeing the destruction that Powder provided in that fight as well, too. Probably one of the most heartbreaking things I ever seen in an anime show.
Mm-hmm. I agree, bro. Like, that episode was just so heart-wrenching. I told you, like, hell, after the whole show, but episode 3, but after the whole season was over, I was sad. That's how emotional the show is. Like, I was literally sad for weeks, bro. Like, I had a pain. Like, you were like, yo, podcast, talk about it, get it out. It really pries on emotions and it makes you feel. That's what they do so well. Everything is important, from gestures and everything, expressions, facial expressions, like Attack on Titan. They zoom in a lot on the face, the pain, you feel it. And I was sad for fucking weeks, especially that episode. Like I told you, the breaking of Jinx, and then seeing, like you said, Vander going the extra mile, injecting himself, you know, to become super overpowered just to save Vi, to get her out of there, man. Like that shows you the love that parents have for their kids. And those were adopted, essentially. Like, that just shows you the love he had for these kids. And bro, I think that's right. That's the turning point. That it was just like, okay, I love this. And then just seeing Jinx not only, you know, still carry these mental issues, still carry this history. Everywhere she went, she saw Milo, Clagger, and essentially, in a way, overconcipating. You get what I'm saying? I can't even pronounce the word. But the intelligence was still there. So that's why I wouldn't call her just a full, blown out, like, Joker character. No. Just doing destruction for whatever. She, you know, the intelligence is there because she cracked the hex code. Remember?
Yeah. So, controlled madness, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm, controlled madness, exactly. And then just, man, the Silco character, like, it's great. Like, you want to talk about Silco?
I love what's happening with Silco. To be honest, in episode 3, you see him as this notorious underbelly villain. And although, you know, he's doing a lot of fucked up things, and although he is plotting and waiting for things in the background, he is Lex Luthor, essentially. He is just waiting for things to fall into place. This guy has a lot of points that people would agree with. You know, what Vander was doing was causing a lot of things to happen is on. You know, the deals that were being made between top and bottom were essentially hurting the people around him as well, too. And essentially, just like any good villain, they have good intentions, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted to look out for the best intentions for Zahn. He wanted to make sure that city was prosperous, that people wouldn't be dying on the streets, that people would be eating. Yes, at all costs, maybe, but he's essentially doing what Vander was doing years ago, which was starting a revolution just in his way. He was just lighting the match. And yes, he is a terrible person. Yes, he is an enabler. Yes, he is. He's an enabler, and he is toxic, and he's a gaslighter in every way possible. But by the end of this show, god damn it, did I fall in love with this character, because all he cared about was his surrogate daughter.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I've seen this on Twitter multiple times. No, Silco was not a good father.
Listen, you don't have to be you can be a shitty dad all day. I know a lot about shitty dads, but like, still at your core, and even at those last two episodes. thing that he cared about, essentially. It wasn't even the greatness of Zahn at that point. Mm. It was just to see Jinx Powder one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And tell her how much he loved her. Or how proud of her he was. And that's emotional right there, because you have this notorious villain that should, in all counts, get the worst death imaginable in that show. But you want him, you're rooting for him just to have that moment with her. And that's what makes great writing.
I agree with you. I love the transformation of Zilko, you hear me? So I put a Z.
Yes.
Your boy Zilko, I love the transformation, because he goes essentially from like this small-time petty criminal peddler, you know, pushing his junk, to you saw the swag that he took over the bar and everything. You started seeing him with the coat, walking around like, all right, this is mine now, you know, with Mel. With his little lackey and stuff. And
love Mel too. Mel is fantastic. Yeah,
she is fantastic, bro. Like, and like you said, you know, the thing is, his passion. We've seen this in history. Like, you know, it's just not animation where people become so, they're so passionate for their land that they try to liberate it, uplift it, whatever it is, at all costs, even if it's their life, anybody else is around them. And that's what we were seeing, essentially, just Zilko saying, you're not gonna step on us no more. You know, we're tired of this shit. Yeah, it's thriving off of us. Nah, it's not like that anymore. And he just got blinded at all costs by that. Yes, the love was there. Yes, you know, an enabler, I agree, but he was using the madness that Jinx is to, you know, the love was there because he was always exempting her from everything. Mel was like, oh, this is her fault. No. He would always give her a free pass. So, you know, the love was there as a father, and just seeing the growth of him, and then from trying to liberate her, let go of that past fully, you know, because that still was plaguing her. Yes, it's like a two-edged sword where you're like, okay, well, some people can see it like, oh, no, you just want full-blown Jinx, like rage. No, but essentially he's also telling her, yo, let go of that, you know? That's holding you back. That's killing you inside. Boom, trying to give her that baptism, basically, you know?
You have that, too, but it goes both ways as well, too, because there have been multiple times in that series, especially toward the end, where Jinx could have bodied him.
Oh, yeah. When he lied to her about Vi being back in the lanes, you know? Being in the lanes, and she was just effing up when he could have did everything, you know, and stuff like that. She could have bodied him, but you're absolutely correct, bro. My fault, I got sidebar real quick with something over here, like my power. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully everything's okay with that, brother.
Yeah, this shit just like went fucking super low. Like, but my fault. Yeah.
Dim the lights. It's getting down.
We in the lanes. But yeah, my fault. Sorry, before we move on, sorry for cutting you off. Like, yeah, just like you said, from seeing him to just saying, okay, it's all about Zahn, you know, presenting his demands to Jace, to then, you know, it's all about Jinx. Save my baby. I save her at all costs. I keep forgetting the name of the fucking liquid or whatever it is, you know, the chem that he was pushing. Just save her at all costs. I don't care if she becomes a monster. Just save her for me, you know? And it was beautiful and sad at the same time, man.
Yeah, having all that stuff there, you know, and then, you know, episode 4 just changes the game because we get the time jump. We're seeing these characters much older in different iterations of their life. Vi is imprisoned. Yeah. You know, hardened, muscle bound, beefy, can punch the daylights out of anyone.
Let's be honest.
Headstrong, you know, punch first, think later. Which is interesting because I feel like I didn't get that in that early version. You know, she was very much a leader in a way, as a child with the gang. Mm-hmm. And in here, you know, I guess whether it's being alone for so long, that isolation makes you just rely on yourself.
Yeah.
Everything just, she's very selfish in a way. She is. She is very selfish in a way. She just wants to get the job done, but her way only. That's about it. And that could have an impact on you as well, too. Coming out, being isolated, only depending on yourself, thinking that everyone around you has died. You're your own best friend. So yeah, if it goes to her appearance, I'm not gonna rely on anyone else. I'm gonna get beefy myself and punch the hell out of anyone who talks shit about me. You know? She's such an interesting character when we see in her episode 4, because the dynamic has changed with her completely. She's very headstrong. Opposite side, Jinx, you know, adopted the name Jinx from Powder. Very carefree, very sporadic. At the same time, you know, very lost as well, too. I think if we stay away from these characters for a little bit and look at everyone else and how they grew, it's amazing, because we're looking at almost everyone and how complex everyone else in that world is. You know, Caitlyn, I love Caitlyn as well, too. Caitlyn is a weird character. She's not strong. Like, she tries to be strong, but she is very reliant on the people around her. She has to find that strength in herself. And that's because of the proc of her environment. She's very sheltered. You know, she wants to do big girl things, but can't be doing it because she's never been in big girl predicaments. You know, Jace, who's been studying arcane magic with the runes and whatnot, and has changed the world immensely because someone gave him a chance. Someone gave him and Victor. Victor is essentially ushering him into the council and helping him get a spot just to show what he can do with the magic that he has found, how magic was just outlawed from this world, and now he's proven that with good intentions, good things can happen and make, you know, Piltover prosperous and whatnot. And boy, did he ever. We see the fucking whole city just light up with magic at that point, almost reliant on it at that point now, like overly reliant.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we see this evolution of super over reliant that we had people, you know, trading with them, coming over from other nations, abusing their tech, trying to abuse their tech. And he achieved his dream, essentially, you know. And I do like how you say just staying away from the main characters. Everybody does have their growth. Everybody does have their story going on. Like, look at your boy, you know, going back to Heimendinger. He got kicked off out of the council. You know, the shorty that I still don't believe that she's treacherous. What's her name? Other politician.
Oh, yeah, I forgot her name.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like she evolved, but super mysteriously, and we're not revealing much of her, you know?
You know, what's interesting as well, too, you know, Heimendinger is basically a play off of the nuclear scientist, Oppenheimer, who created the atomic bomb. You look at that right here. Now look at what happened when that actually happened, when the atomic age happened. Things started being a little bit more crazier in this world. You know, technology boomed, whether in the States, whether it was across seas and whatnot, life was booming, trading was even more, things were happening, the world was more open because all this newfound energy, this new science was being made. This was happening in real life. Now you look in this, it's almost side by side, they're almost parallel to each other. You look at, you know, a world that's very strict on what they were doing. You know, we make our living this way, I'm doing things a certain way, until magic was brought. You can look at magic as the atomic bomb, and essentially it was the atomic bomb anyway.
Yeah, I feel you, man. My fault. Like, I got sidetracked with all this power shit. Like, I apologize, bro, because I even wanted to talk about Caitlyn, too, so I'm not just going to jump into that now. But, yeah, but essentially, magic. I didn't know that about the Heimendinger, bro. Honestly, that's fucking epic. I just learned something new. Thank you for that. Yeah.
What did you have to say about Caitlyn, though? I want to know.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Caitlyn, that, you know, like you said, she's a character that, you know, she has to find that strength within her through outside people, where essentially everything almost has been handed to her, so she hasn't really proven herself. She's looking for that. You know, remember, like, when we saw the young flashback where she was having the shooting contest with I forgot her name, the police officer that was in charge at that time. She was like, oh, you let me win. Why? You know? She's a badass, but she needs to realize it herself. And since everything has almost essentially been given to her because she is the daughter of a councilman, you know, it's like, okay, you know. But interesting caveat, like, when I straight away after the show, you know, I went to the League of Legends, and, you know, for you as well and whoever is listening to this, you can go out there and read books, free comics, you know, of this world and of these characters, you know. So essentially we spoiler alert for you too, you know, we go down the line and she becomes a part of the Royal Guardianship, bro. So she finds it, you know? So it's pretty epic.
Let's roll with this right here. This will be very interesting, and we could probably wrap things up on that as well, too. I want to know, what are your top three characters of the show. We're going to make it three right now. I know it makes it a little harder.
Top three. For me?
Yeah.
Or like...
For you.
Okay, for me. Okay.
Your personal.
Okay, for my personal... You already know who my number one is. It's going to be Jinxie. Jinx is number one for me because she broke my heart beyond belief, beyond repair. And, you know, when characters like this are broken... Because I'm a person that's fucking broken. I have my own issues. I gravitate to people like this easily. So Jinx is number one for me. Number two, I would say it has to be Caitlyn. Mm-hmm. I like Caitlyn a lot, you know. Like I said, she has that swag to her, if you would say. Like, she has that charisma. She has that. She has the power in her. But she needs to unlock it. She needs to start believing in herself. She needs to be in these moments that test her. So unlimited potential. That's why I like her. You know, I'm picking characters that relate to me, mm-hmm. you know, and that's another character I can relate to. Caitlyn, I'm sorry that I said that strong like that.
No, I love it. I love it. Passion.
And number three, if I have to pick a third character, it would probably be... Wow, this is a tough one. I've never thought about a third character because everybody's so good. It's not Vi, though. You would probably be like, yeah, you probably like Vi. Nah, Vi's not on my list. I mean, I like her, but... I would say... Silco. I would say Silco because, you know, the growth that we saw from just that peddler to just caring about his adopted daughter and just fighting... passionately at any cost, even doing dirtbag shit, you know, that passion that he had to liberate his people. Because mm-hmm. I'm a person too that, hey, I don't like oppression and shit like that. Obviously, you know, Silco wasn't with it. So I would say Silco is my third character.
You know what? I would have been. I'm happy you put Silco. I would have been. I'm a little shocked that you did put Victor, though.
Yeah, I love Victor a lot, though, bro. So that's why I'm just like.
It's, oof, that's good, though.
It's tough, bro, but like I can relate to all four, you know, right. Going based on each of them having something that I can relate to, but I just love how Silco is this essentially freedom fighter at any cost, that he doesn't care, you know, any line he'll cross it.
I think when it came to me, man, of course, yeah, Jace is gonna be my first one right there. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, self-righteous, you know, don't care what anyone else's opinion is. It's going to go for it no matter what, no matter at any cost. Second, of course, is going to be Silco, just like you said as well, too. I could accent that right there. Just this freedom fighter for trying to do things for all the right reasons, but all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. And the third one was tough because I want to say Echo, but the thing about Echo is that he wasn't there enough.
He's throughout mysterious. The
whole. Yeah, like that first episode, that only big episode, because you see him as a child, but that adult version of him, mm-hmm. It's great, but I would have loved more of it. You know what I mean? Like a little bit mm-hmm. more, just a little bit more meat on the bones with that character. So I gotta go with Vander. Vander's my third.
Oh, I had a feeling Vander was gonna be in there for the parental aspect. You know? So yeah, I know you could relate to Vander.
It's crazy. I like both the both sides of the fathers right there.
Yeah, Silco and Vander with the sprinkle of self righteousness.
Yes, it's all me right there. It's all fucked up.
That's great, bro.
Oh,
but
go ahead.
But no, I do agree with you where, I mean, Echo, for the people that know about the lore, you know, is, I forgot they call him the kid that time escaped or escaped mm-hmm. time. I don't know what it's called. That's why he has that little clock with him. But we're definitely going to get more. I want to ask you about season two. We're going to get more, obviously, between him and Heimerdinger fixing the board. And, yo, Heimerdinger being his own, bro, and seeing firsthand. I forgot about that. That's crazy, you know, seeing what Piltover is doing to this this underworld. But yeah, Echo was very mysterious, but I do like the connection that he has with Jinx, essentially like brother and sister, you mm-hmm. know? And like when they were scrapping on the bridge and you saw all the flashbacks of them when they were younger and everything like that. That just really broke my heart. I'm like, oh, come on, bro. And Yeah, such good shit, bro. But Echo is very mysterious. I want to see some more of him. I was going to ask you, you know where I stand on this, but sell me right now and sell these people that haven't seen it, or sell the people, you know, sell me on a season two, because I don't think the show deserves a season two, man. I'll be on that hill. People are going to be like, what? We got to see after the blowing up of the console when freaking Jinx launches the rocket and we got some strings to tie up. But I don't think it can live up. Remember this day. I don't think season two can live up to one. And if it does, I stand corrected. But tell me on season two, bro, because I still say it doesn't need it.
That's tough, because I think I convinced myself that a season two works out better than another show like Cyberpunk, right? Where we loved Cyberpunk and, you know, smash hit, came out of nowhere, fantastic. But it wrapped itself up in a way, in a pretty bow, where you can be happy and walk away from that show, never seen another episode again, and be fulfilled. Whereas this, you have that fulfillment from a lot of the wrap-ups, but at the same time, yeah, I do want to see what happens more. I do want to see more, you know, Heimerdinger in Zaun. I do want to see the aftermath of things. I do want to see, you know, what happens with Caitlyn, you know what I mean? I want to see her grow into more than what she can be, you know what I mean? I want to see, oh my God, I want to see more with Jinx now that she has no, literally, she has no filter now.
Yeah, nothing holding her back, you know, because now she sees Caitlyn as a sister, as a replacement.
Yep.
But Silco, she shot him by accident, spoiler alert if you haven't seen him, you know, so she's gonna be just pure fucking madness.
Exactly. Like, you have that Echo as well too, leading the rebellion in a way. You know, he already had his first taste. You could look at that as like one of those action movies where, you know, the antagonist and the protagonist had that first fight, but the hero loses but has to come back later on in the movie to have that final fight. I could see that. I could see that in season two. I could see that as a motivation right there. Vi, I don't know. You know, Vi is probably my least favorite character.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, she's cool. She has, you know, she has her baggage and she has her history and she has her growth and everything. But you know what it is? It's
she's unlikable. As an adult, she's unlikable as an adult. Like, her flirting with Caitlyn is cute, calling her cupcake, I like it, but like as a pair it works, but you take that out, I don't care.
You know what, she's bland, that's what it is, for me at least. As an adult, yeah, you get the tattoos, the punching, the muscly arms, but you're just bland, you know, like you're coming back for your sister, okay, your sister doesn't want you, whatever, you know, like I said, I don't know nothing about this world. Your sister doesn't want you. Where do you go from here? You're going to essentially, you ain't got nobody to be abandoned to, you know? So it's like, where do you go from here? So that's why I'm just like, okay, your story is very bland from here on out. So that's why I'm really not digging her like that, you know? But yeah.
She could definitely be the Vander going into season two, especially with Echo and whatnot, maybe lead the rebellion on that side of things. So I could see that happening. But it's, I could see a season two. Will it live up? I don't think so, because it was such a chaotic sofrito. It was like a sancocho. It was so good. Like, it's like you having fucking halal food for the first time for people that don't live in fucking New York, anywhere else in the world, and never had halal food, truck food like that. You know, you have it for the first time, and it's the best thing you ever ate. And even though you had it a second or third time, and it's good, that first time, man, that first time is always going to be special.
Yeah, the first time is always going to be special. And that's the thing. Like, I'm fine. I'll be honest. I'm fine with just imagining the rebellion. Just imagining what happens after that fucking missile hits that window. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't want none of this to be, you know, downplayed by if a season two doesn't live up to it. Because it will. It will be downplayed. And I'm sorry, you know how the critics are nowadays. And I'm fine with all that. But you do make a nice point. I do would like to see, you know, Heimerdinger with Echo. What can they do? And, you know, as I read a little bit more of this Runeterra world, there are some characters that I like. Like I told you, that Kem Baroness chick. Like, you know, she's from Zaun as well. Like, I would like to see if they explore characters like this, you know, but I'm fine with not knowing, honestly. Like, nah.
There's a lot that's unspoken for, and maybe when we unveil the curtain, sometimes things get lost in the sauce because now we unveiled too much. But I still feel like there's a lot more to talk about with magic, with the runes and whatnot. Essentially with sorcery. But then again, I do like that it's shrouded with mystery, and the mystery helps everything. But I may be selfish, and I want just a little resolution. And you're that's selfish. Tough. That's you're tough. Selfish. And self-righteous, Jace.
No, I feel you. Yeah.
Only because it's hard because yes, it's a video game, and they live on forever, right? So how do you wrap up a video game, right? But like, I just want a little resolution.
This is the thing. I don't want to play spoiler. I've seen some things, like I said, because I went out and explored, and I fucking explored. But like, there are some stuff that you know that I would like to see. I'm not gonna lie, but. I really want to see if this is going to be crazy. This is the selling point on me for season two. If I really want to see what happens with Victor, that's what I'm really most intrigued about. You know, essentially this hextech, this magic became him, his blood mixed with everything. Remember that little flash when Heimerdinger was like, you got to destroy it, where you saw that silhouette. Does he become that person? Is he that person? Is it foreshadowing? Or was there another person down the line that was like this and he's the new incarnate? You get what I'm saying? Like, so that's what I would love to see, really, bro, the Victor story.
Well, I'll leave it right here. This will be like the final thing we talk about right here. I'm going to ask you, pose this to you. No, I'll answer it as well to you. What are your top three moments from the show?
Top three moments. Well, people are going to be like, bro, you're a jinx simp. The breaking of the episode three where that, you know, Powder crying in the room to just the destruction that she caused to Vi slapping the shit out of her. You are a jinx. And then just leaving her there crying.
Oh, she didn't slap. She snuffed her. She snuffed the kid.
Super abusive. Yeah. She snuffed the kid. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. And then just seeing Silco, you know, kind of like, hey, everything's going to be all right.
I got punched before. I know how that feels. Yeah.
I got rotten bacteria in my eye. I'm done. That's number one for me, the creation of Jinx. Number two, it was a big moment for me. I'm going to say it. The Echo reveal, bro. Because I had totally kind of put Echo in the back burner. And then I'm like, okay, who the F is this? And then when, you know, he takes the bag off of I, takes off the mask, and it's the Echo reveal, I'm like, oh, my boy. Oh, you still alive? Let's go. So that kind of, you know, got me hyped. Because the whole time, they were just a Firefly. Like, you didn't know. You didn't see nothing, you know? So that was a cool moment for me. And this is just me personally speaking. They're not going to be nothing crazy, you know? But I'm going to have to say two for three. Victor running. When, you know, the joy that he had, that shit is making me sad right now, the joy that he experienced with the Hextech, and he just ran, bro, like, that's a moment for me, and where he basically saved Jace's life, because he found him when Jace was about to body himself, you know, they found each other simultaneously. It's crazy. Jace bumps into him, hey, you know, did I come in at a bad time? Victor comes in at a bad, like, you know, did I come in at a bad time? What you doing? When Jace was eventually about to commit suicide, so... That right there has to be two for one for me. Those are my moments. What about you? What about your three moments?
Third would probably have to be, the Jinx breakdown, then blowing up the crew, essentially. it's that whole sequence of cry, blow up, get punched. Bro, it's a lot.
That whole sequence was madness, bro. Fucking the little monkey fucking clapping. Bro, everybody blowing the fuck up. Klaga, fucking Milo getting shit through their face, bro. Like, punch to the... Bro, yeah, that shit was crazy, bro.
It's a lot. This is a lot to deal with on that side. Second, Victor activating with the rune and seeing his assistant that loves him so much die right then and there. That it was just... It's just like heartbreaking, but it's all for the love of going forward. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's still going forward. Like, yes, it's sad, but like
some sacrifices must be made.
Like, It's such a Jace thing.
It really is. I'm so fucking done.
But it's just, it that is the making of a villain right there. That's the birth of
100, right? 100. That's why I said if season 2, I want to see some Victor, bro, because I think he becomes a villain.
He's the next Silco, straight up.
Yeah, bro, I agree. I think he's a villain.
It's going to be like, yeah, that's just going to be a masterpiece right there.
That's going to be epic. My son's going to be magic walking. What's your number one, though?
Oh, it has to be the Echo fight with Jinx.
That
whole sequence. You know why? Because it was so
That was epic. That was epic. I just didn't see that coming as your number one.
Only because it was so different than everything else inside the show. It literally was like written in a way where it could be remembered no matter what. Yeah. Like it from the music to the hip hop in the background to the art style. It went straight anime with the art style as well too, to the colors going from black and white to different other shades as well too. So just the slow motion of it all into the fight itself, and although it's short and sweet, it hit in such a way where it's like a parallel of the two sides of the coin as well. Again, kids, the flashbacks, growing up, being fucking left for dead essentially on both ends, because that's who Echo was as well too. Echo lost family, we just didn't see it. Echo lost everything as well too, we just didn't see it, you know. And that's one thing that I wish we would have accepted a little bit more in the show, but I really can't complain about that because we had so much character development from almost everyone we got that it makes sense that someone had to get left off a little bit. But damn, like
that was a good scene, bro. That was a good scene, because what made it very, very deep was, like you said, essentially, you know, coming from the same past, brothers and sister, like, you can tell they didn't want to do it, but here we are, you know, like, the fates have brought us together, so let's do this. And that was a great scene, like you said, and they really broke the mold. They just went straight anime with it. I mean, that was a good scene, bro.
There's two other ones that I really love too. I'll put like an honorable mention, like the first fight between Jinx and Vi, and then them coming together, just destroying everyone else at the same time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Just a good scene. And then I do love Mel and Vi's final fight in the bar with the gauntlets on. I'm like, oof, so good.
Yeah.
So
many callbacks. That was epic. I'm going to just give my honorable mention, because you know me, I'm a sap. I'm always in my bag. I'm always in my feel. And it's just when Vi told her, yo, you light this flare, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to come for you. And she kept true to her word. And I cried. I'll be honest. She kept true to her word. She came up and showed up, and she was there for her, you know? And then that scene broke me. That scene broke me, bro. Yeah. I'm a sap.
No, you're not, man. You're not at all. I almost fucking broke down with that episode 3, because it really is like a triple threat right there. It is so many things happening all at once that you don't know how to react as a viewer. Like, especially not knowing anything of this show, the history, the lore, anything whatsoever. You're watching real life unveil right there. You're watching death. This is the shit I want in My Hero Academia. I know we're sidebarring right now, but this is the shit that I want in My Hero Academia. I want stakes like that. I want, like, hey, I grew to like this character. These are cool characters over the last 3 episodes. Yeah. Oh, shit, you just took away from me without any hesitation whatsoever. And characters are breaking right in front of you. And people who you want just to see thrive together are just being broken in front of your face. Like I said, that triple threat of breakdown, blow up, punch to the face. It just
you just didn't know how to handle it.
No, I didn't. like what's going on? I didn't even want to watch episode 4 because I was like, I'm in the glass case of emotion.
You're just like, what's going on? This roller coaster. Yeah, nah, bro. I feel you though. That episode was crazy. But that just, like, that's when it clicked for me. That's when I was like, hey, welcome to the show. You get what I'm saying? Like, everything was just prelude to this, but I feel you. We're gonna get that with My Hero, bro. I'm sure we are. But I'm sure we are. Sidebar. Yeah, my power is wilding out here, bro. But yeah, so I don't know. Yeah.
We'll wrap it up like this, man. If you had to give anyone a selling point on watching Arcane if they haven't done it yet, like I said, we don't know anything. Well, I personally don't know that much about League of Legends. I never played it. I don't have interest. I really don't have interest in playing it, but if I wanted to get more lore out of this, I would definitely watch another season. But how can you sell someone on watching this show for the first time?
Ah, oh, man. If you like steampunk, if you like fantasy, if you like getting your heart broken, stomped, fucking lit on fire and pissed out, watch this show. Like, because it's going to F with all your emotions. It's a roller coaster, good up and down, and it's just a thrill ride. And if you don't watch it, you're robbing yourself out of possibly the best animation show we've seen in this, I'm not going to say lifetime, but decade.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you're looking at a show that you want smart writing, that's not being too smart to be over your head. If you just want, like,
real uncultured swine,
uncultured swine. If you just want, like, just straightforward, like, this is what we're giving you, raw material in your face, real life issues, masked in this animated show, world building, great character development, payoffs, and just a fun wrap up within 9 episodes. Like, to me, this is the perfect animated show in the last 10 years because I don't need 26 episodes. I don't need full-on arcs and arcs and arcs to get me where I need to get to. I just needed 9 episodes. I needed 3 episodes to care about people. Yeah. Honestly.
And I know you are very picky. Like, you hold your interest and your time. If you're going to watch something, it's to a high standard. And when that's why I didn't even suggest this. I'm like, he will like this. But I didn't suggest it because I was like, I'm not going to say it. I don't know how he's going to feel about certain shit. But when you said that you started watching it and it took you 3 episodes to get into it, that's how you know it does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was the perfect animated show. Like, it tugged on your heartstrings. It made you root for people you didn't want to root for in the first place. It made you feel every emotion possible. And I think that's what a great writing does. And the animation was crisp. I love it.
Yeah. But so we can wrap it up. I was going to say that's how you know it's good writing, when you can sit here and sympathize with every character, and even more when you can sympathize with who supposedly is the villain. You know, that's how you know they fleshed out these characters well in smart writing. So hands down, last 10 years, this is one of the best animations. Go watch it, enjoy it, cry, laugh, you know. And honestly, it made me want to get more into the lore, so that's why I'm reading some of the stuff on their website. Go check it out.
Yeah. Straight up, if you guys want, we want to hear from you too. If you guys enjoyed or did not like it, let us know. We're at Pop Culture Fanatics on Twitter, Pop Culture Fanatics on Instagram, and on Facebook as well too. If you want to listen to the podcast on more different devices, we're on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. So let us know. We even have like a little awesome little thing on Anchor now. They just introduced this, but I believe if you go on Spotify or Anchor as well too, if you're listening to this, we can pose up a question and you guys can answer it, and we can interact with you as well too. So maybe we'll post up a question as well too. Awesome. We'll talk about that, and just hit us up, let us know, you know, give us those answers right there. We want to be interactive with you guys.
I like that idea. About to definitely go check that out because I didn't know that. That's a new feature. That's pretty cool.
And as always, it's been a pleasure rocking and rolling with you, man. I hope everything is okay over there. I know in the PR area, everything is a little crazy right now, PR.
Yeah, it's just like the power is like fluctuating, is dipping. You get what I'm saying? I can't find a word for it. But yeah, it's got like super. Oh shit, Poltergeist! It's like when somebody turned on a hair dryer or something, bro, like a hair blower or something. Yeah, bro, this shit is wild, man. But nah, I appreciate that though. But yeah, bro, it's always awesome rocking out, man. Like, yo, I want to do the Cyberpunk retrospective, bro. I think we're having fun with that shit too. Yeah,
I think that's next, because we gotta talk about that.
Yeah, we definitely do. But it was a blast. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed this. I can't wait. I'm about to go watch some wrestling right now with the fellas. So, yeah.
Everyone, take care. Have a good one. Later.
Later.